Does the Bible teach salvation by works or by faith? The answer? True faith always produces action, but those actions can never save us. They prove that our faith is real. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. If you enjoy these daily devotions, I want to strongly encourage you to subscribe, like, share, or comment, or place in that Washington Defender huddle in the Washington Defender app. Also, to our monthly donors and those who help keep us going, we are so, so very thankful. We're getting towards the end of the year, and so maybe consider an end-of-the-year gift towards us as well. It really does help us keep going in changing hearts so that we change the public square, and we're incredibly thankful. We are in a series called Abraham. I know it's deep. Romans chapter 4, verse 2 is where we are, but just to remind you the count of Abraham's life very quickly. In Genesis, we see, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land," what? "The land which I have shown you, and I will make you a great nation." A great what? Nation. "And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, look northward, southward, eastward, westward, from all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and its breadth, for I will give it to you." Genesis 13, 4 through 17. "On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given you this land." So are you noticing a pattern here? Chapter 12, land. Chapter 13, land. People, nations, groups. He's saying it very clearly. This idea of replacement theology needs to be thrown out the door. The church has not replaced Abraham's covenant. Yes, salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. Yes, we all need a Savior, whether you're Jew, Gentile, barbarian, or Greek. We all need Jesus Christ. That does not negate a former covenant that's been placed in our lives. So he says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt, as far as the great river, to the Euphrates, the Canaanites, the Kenazites, the Cabanites, the Hittites, the Pezerites, the Raphaims, Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." I probably butchered all those names. I do apologize. Genesis 15 through 18 through 21. God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout the generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." So circumcision is a sign. What covenant? The land, the people, the nations. Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant." What covenant? The one he just talked about. "And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting," how long? "Everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." So I just quickly laid that all out. I know it's like a fire hose. Go back and read Genesis chapter 11 through Genesis chapter 25. I lay it out, because there's just a lot of misinformation and anti-Semitic information and anti-Israel information out there. And we need to hear and know that God has not rejected his everlasting covenant, his covenant that lasts forever. So let's go to our scripture for today. "What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefathers, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." So we look at this and we know that Abraham was justified not by works. He has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So I have a question. Is this contrary to what James wrote about? Because when we just read here, look at this. For if Abraham was justified by works, doesn't James declare that Abraham was justified by works? Let's go read it and see if there's a contradiction here. It says this, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, but be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. This portion of scripture defines everything else that James is going to say. This is going to negate what appears to be a contradiction. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So remember, Romans is talking about salvation. Are we saved by works? Here he's talking about byproduct. Do we have a natural outflow of our life? Context matters. You got to read the whole chapter. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? See, and some say, oh, look, there's a contradiction. There it said he wasn't. Here it says he was. But one's talking about salvation. The other is talking about the byproduct of faith. You see that his faith was working with his works. Faith and works were working together. And as a result, what? Of the works, faith was perfected. Okay, so he wasn't saved by his works. It was just perfected. He showed and demonstrated, I have true faith. And the scriptures was fulfilled when it said, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited or reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In other words, if you truly have faith in Jesus Christ, it's going to produce something in you. Now, if you truly have works and you're trying to get faith, that's a dead thing. It's not good. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So there is no contradiction between what Paul writes in Romans and what James writes in James. The scriptures are clear. When you have true faith, it will produce something in you. It'll produce works. And then those works that are done by faith will come back and perfect your faith even all the more. It becomes a testimony for you. Like, wow, I did that by faith. And look at God moved on that. God moved in such a way that it's just miraculous. And that's what we want to see. We want to see God's hand at work in our life. So remember, if Jesus hasn't changed your life, then Jesus hasn't changed you. He's changing and transforming you from the inside out, and that in turn produces good works. So what's our application today? You are justified by faith, and faith produces good works. That's our application for the day. You're going to go into your workplace, and you're going to walk by faith, be kept by faith, learn by faith, grow in faith. And God's going to open your eyes today to see the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcast around you. You are a child of God. You have been bought with a price. You are brand new. He has began a good work in you, is faithful to perfect it until that day. You are not the old person. You are the new person. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. God has called you to such a time as this to walk in that newness of life that God has for you. Maybe you're listening to this on your way home from work, and you got to walk into your house. And as you walk in, it's going to be chaotic. The kids are there. All that's going to be happening. And you are a child of God bought with a price, and you are there representing the gospel message to those around you. You walk by faith. You're kept in faith. And God is using this time to demonstrate through your works, through your abilities, his good faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do pray that as you go before us today, that we would be surrounded by your love, your commitment, your demonstration of power. Lord, we pray that you would give us the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcasts. Let us share that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, for their sins, for all of our sins, and rose again. That if we repent and turn to him, that we will find life and life abundantly. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father except by you. Lord, you are the light of the world. You shine through us brightly. God, you are the truth, and you are the righteousness and grace that we so desire. So we turn to you, the living God, and we ask for you to empower us today to be your witnesses, God. Go before us in all things. Surround us in all things. God, you are Lord. You are our Heavenly Father. You are magnificent, and we love you, God. We do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.